This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and enter the code CAMPFIRE to get $5 off your first order. Thanks, Harry's.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And boy, we've got some great stories lined up this week. First, I wanted to tell you about something very cool we're doing, and you can get a little free gift if you're interested. I've heard about this adult coloring book craze that's going on out there, and I decided to create a coloring book, an adult coloring book for the campfire from some of our greatest stories that we've had on through the years. And seeing that I can't draw a stick man, that presented a problem. So I have teamed up with a fantastic illustrator and artist by the name of Len Peralta. He's done work for Warner Brothers and some of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys, and just a really talented artist. And we are going to create an adult campfire book, coloring book, that is. And you'll be able to get that this fall. But until then, you can actually get a sample page if you're into coloring. And I know a lot of grownups these days are, which it was news to me, but when I found out about it, I said, campfire is perfect for this. You can go to jimharold.com/campfire coloring book. That's jimharold.com/campfire coloring book, no spaces. Go over there, click on the link, and basically what you do is you put your email address in, and then you will be sent a PDF of an image from one of our classic campfire stories, actually Lucifer in the Lamp, the one where the face of a devil came up while folks were playing with a Ouija board, a really scary one, and a great image by Len Peralta that has captured the spirit of that story. And the neat thing is we're doing it because we want to get the word out about the coloring book. And also you'll be put on a list. And when the book is actually released, you will almost immediately get a notification saying, hey, you can buy the book. And then finally, for people that are in the continental U.S. to sign up for that list, and this is only because of shipping restrictions, but you'll be entered into a drawing, and one person will win, and they will win, when the book comes out, a free copy of the book and also a set of coloring pencils. So we thought it was very cool. Check it out at jimharold.com/campfire coloring book. Very excited about that. And I'm also very excited about this week's campfire. Great stories, and here they are. Katie is on the line from Arkansas, and she's going to tell us about one of the things that I find most fascinating in all of this, an out-of-body experience, specifically one that she had, which I find quite fascinating. Katie, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Thank you. Well, a little bit of background. I used to be really into dreaming and lucid dreaming, and I got very good at it, so I would practice it a lot. I was very versed with how to lucid dream, how to remember the dreams. And just through that research, I happened upon a lot of articles about out-of-body experiences, and all of the ones that I found sounded super fascinating and interesting, and like you can move through the world in your spirit form and go through walls and see people and see things. And so I started trying to actually induce an out-of-body experience for a long time, and a common theme was putting yourself into sleep paralysis, and then through that you're able to kind of make that transition a little bit easier. So for maybe a few months, almost every night I would try to get myself into the state of sleep paralysis so that I could try to have an out-of-body experience, and it never worked, ever, not once, and I never got there. And so I kind of gave up on it. And a few years went by, I kind of had forgotten even just the thought of it. When I was on a trip by myself in New York, I was in a hotel room, and I was laying down for a nap, and I felt myself go into sleep paralysis. And if you've ever experienced sleep paralysis, it's a really scary feeling.
Yeah, I've heard it's terrifying. I've heard it's terrifying. I've never had it, but I've heard it's one of the most frightening things that can happen to you.
Yeah, because your mind is conscious, your mind is awake, but your body is paralyzed. You can't move or speak. And so I got really scared, but then remembered, I was like, oh, this is what I was trying to do back when I was trying to have an out-of-body experience. Let me try it. So I was laying there and I kind of went through the steps in my head, you know, picture yourself kind of floating up and start from your toes and work up. And no transition. I'm just standing in the hotel room, but it is super, everything's different. So it was darker and I felt like there was like a humming sound, like almost like a beehive hum, just this deep, loud humming, and it felt like everything was vibrating around me, and I was vibrating like from the inside. And I was looking around, and I didn't even think that that's what was happening to me because I'd never been in that state. I kind of pictured it as like a step past dreaming, you know, like a really lucid dream. But I'm just standing there, confused and feel weird. I look over and I see my brother standing there. And immediately I was like, no, you're not supposed to be here. Why are you in New York? Why are you in my hotel room? And he just looks at me and he puts his hands on my shoulders and he says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, Katie. It's going to be okay. And all of a sudden his features on his face just started like contorting to the point where he didn't even look like himself anymore. And that scared me so bad that I looked away and he was gone. And so I honestly, what I thought was happening was I thought I was like tripping on some kind of hallucinogenic drug, but I didn't know how I was tripping or what happened.
Right.
And I've never even taken any hallucinogens before, but in my head, I'm like, that's what's happening. I'm on some kind of drug. I'm hallucinating. Like I need help. So I grabbed my phone, opened it up, and all the little icons on the screen, when you open your phone up, started coming out of the screen. So I couldn't call anyone for help. I couldn't, you know, message anyone saying like, come here. I need someone to come help me. So I threw the phone down and was like, okay, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go into the hallway and find someone because I am not in my mind right now.
Right.
So I went to the door trying to grab for the handle. And every time I tried to grab for it, it would move. So it'd be at a different place and I couldn't get my hand on it. And once I finally did, I was like, okay, go out, open the door. And this almost like monstrous claw hand reached in towards me.
Oh.
And I slammed the door shut and just sat down on the floor and started crying. And I was just so scared because I didn't know what was going on. And I'm sitting on the floor facing the door and the door opens and these tall, faceless shadow people start coming into my room one by one, like in a row. And they're speaking almost in tongues, like no human language I've ever heard before. And they were looking at me. I could tell they were looking at me, but they, you know, they had these just dark blank faces. And so I was, you know, just shaking and terrified, just absolutely terrified, and started to kind of feel myself like passing out, like I was going to faint. And I was like, oh good, anything but this, pass out, like faint, don't be here. And like, it's horrible. Just go to sleep. And when I felt myself fainting, like falling, it, you know, the room started to kind of clear up and the sound, you know, kind of diminished and the light behind my eyes got brighter and I opened my eyes and I'm back in my bed. And I was so completely just like struck. I didn't know what had just happened, but then remembered, I thought back and I was like, oh my gosh, I tried to have an out of body experience and I did. And it sucked. That was terrible.
That's frightening.
So yeah, it was. And you know, it was probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced because I was very conscious and I was, you know, looking back, I know that it was very separate from any kind of dream state that you can be in, but it definitely kind of switched up my spirituality. It was kind of like a spiritual awakening almost of like, you know, the things we see when we're in our waking state, the things that we can touch and feel, there is so much more than that. And I was very content with saying that, but I know like there are people who are going to say, oh no, it was just a really vivid dream. You're just dreaming. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It was something else than that.
You know, it's interesting because your story reminds me of a story, and I actually looked it up while you were telling me, that we had way back in 2011, and it was called Changing Faces, and it was about a man, and I believe it's in one of the campfire books, maybe the first one or the second one, and it's about a man who sat down to have some tea with a neighbor, and, you know, they were kind of sitting and relaxing and almost in a meditative state. And then he noticed that this woman's face started to change from face to face to face to different face. And it was very surreal. And I even asked him, you know, is it possible this woman slipped you something, you know? And he said, absolutely not. But some of the aspects of the story that you tell remind me greatly of that.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
I got to say, fascinating story, Katie. Thank you so much for sharing it, because I got to tell you, you know, some of the most interesting stories, in my view, are maybe not the traditional ghost stories, but the stories that are something else, and we don't know quite what that something else is. Now, have you kind of figured out what it was? Do you think you know?
You know, I think the idea of an out-of-body experience is, you know, that your spiritual body is able to kind of separate from your physical shell, you know, your shell of a body that is just your vessel, your vehicle that you carry around. And I think I was able to kind of step out of that. And I wish I'd looked into the bed. I wish I could have looked and said, yeah, I saw myself sleeping there, but I never looked. I was so distracted by everything else going on. But even through researching the out-of-body experience since that happened, there have been a lot of more things that I found that have, you know, been bad experiences, saying that, you know, if you're in a place that has such bad energy and like almost like an evil presence, you're kind of leaving your shell of a body open to anything else kind of entering that. And I had felt completely separated from it. So in that sense, I've kind of always said, like, I'll never do that again, but it was great that I did it once, you know?
Well, it is a fascinating, fascinating story. Katie, thank you for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
Thank you.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Harry's. Now, I don't know about you out there, but guys who are listening, shaving really had the best of me for years. I never liked to shave in particular. It was uncomfortable. I hated the nicks. I hated the scrapes, and razors, typically very, very expensive. But I've tried Harry's, and they've changed my whole perspective on shaving. You know, because Harry's is a great deal, about half the price of the leading brands, delivered right to your door. And not only is the convenience, not only is the price there, but also the quality's there too, because they make high quality, high performance German blades in their own factory, crafted by shaving experts, and they feel great. Now, do what I did, make the switch. Over a million guys have done it. You just go over to their website, harrys.com, harrys.com. And check it out. The website is streamlined, easy to use, and it takes less than 30 seconds to place an order. And they have a great customer service experience. Now, as I said, I've been using Harry's for a while now. It's super high quality. The blades are fantastic. I love you get this razor handle with a great look and feel, extra razor blades, and shaving cream when you get one of their kits. And all of their products look extremely sleek. And again, the best part is it costs half as much as other razor brands. All of it shipped right to your door. So why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at Harry's? So for example, Harry's starter set. It's called the Truman. It's a great option for new customers. An amazing deal for just $15. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors. And there's a special offer. Fans of The Campfire, Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with the code CAMPFIRE. So go over to harrys.com, harrys.com, and use that special code CAMPFIRE to get $5 off your first purchase. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Thanks, Harry's. Jennifer's on the line. She's been listening for about a year and a half now from Oklahoma, a Plus Club member, big supporter of everything we do. Now, she has a story about her first ghost hunt, something very spooky, and in addition, she has supplied us some EVP. Jennifer, welcome to the program. Thanks for all your support, and tell us what happened.
Hi, Jim. It is so great to be talking to you and share this story with you. I'm a little nervous, but...
Don't be nervous. It's just me.
I don't know why. When people say that, I'm like, why are you nervous? But anyway, here I am. But so in mid-November, my sister and I went to a wedding of some very special friends in Austin, and they do it upright. So it was at the Driscoll Hotel. And I don't know if you know that hotel, but it's a really old, beautiful hotel in downtown Austin. And there's a lot of stories about it being haunted and things like that. And you kind of feel a little bit like in the lobby, you know, we used to go there back in the day and have drinks before we go out to other clubs, you
sure.
know, and, you know, so it always like intrigued me. Anyway, so after the like formal wedding, we went upstairs to one of the ballrooms, and this, the room and like the hallways leading up there, like really definitely had a heavy feeling of like history, like if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And throughout the reception, like, there were lights flickering. And, of course, my sister and I were, like, you know, just looking for things, you know. So there was some lights flickering. And while we were dancing, the DJ had a few problems with the music, like, just kind of doing its own thing, like, slowing down, skipping. And my sister and I were like, oh, my gosh. And the DJ was kind of looking confused. So there was this really nice older gentleman that was running the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, he looks like he's been working there for a while. So we go up to the bar and we're like, we could get some drinks, put a $5 in the tip jar. And we're like, so, you know, tell us about the ghosts around here. And he's like, he just starts to giggle. And he's like, oh, no, it's not haunted. I don't believe in that stuff. And he's told us that he's worked there for about 30 years.
Right.
And we're like, come on, you've had experiences. And he just kind of pauses. And he had a thick accent, so I couldn't really understand totally what he was saying, but he said, you know, well, most nights when I go down to, like, the area basically where guests aren't allowed, I frequently see out of the corner of my eye a white lady. And that's funny because we had read online about Ooh. This white lady. And he said, you know, I've just gotten used to it after all these years, but I don't believe in that stuff. And I immediately thought of you and how, you know, frequently you've talked about in the show, like, you know, people have experiences and then they're like, well, I don't believe in that stuff. And it's just like, well, clearly you just had you saw a white lady, like you just had an experience. How do you not believe in that stuff? But so anyway, this definitely fueled my sister and I. We'd already had a conversation about doing an amateur ghost hunt with our voice memo app, like on the iPhone. So we start looking up like the haunted history online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we hear about the fourth and fifth floor being haunted. And the fourth floor, allegedly there was there's different accounts, but the account we read was that there were two suicides of two brides on their respective wedding nights.
Oh,
in
my.
The same, yeah, in the same room, room 429. I know there was definitely one because I did more research and I found other accounts where they just mentioned one, but there's other accounts where it mentions two, so I'm not sure. And then the fifth floor, I can't remember the room number, they had to shut down one of the rooms and completely remodel it because it was just so much activity, no one would stay there. And I think they just recently, I mean, probably in the past 10 years, like opened it back up, but we did recordings on both floors. But the fourth floor was where we felt the most and ended up getting the EVP. And we go up to the fourth floor, and now there's, like, many weddings going on. There's, you know, it's an active hotel. And you get up to the fourth floor, and it's like you could hear a pin drop. It's like you're in this, you enter this other, like, I don't want to sound overdramatic, but, like, this other dimension. Like, it's just weird.
It's like otherworldly.
Totally otherworldly. The hallways are very wide, and you kind of get the feeling like you're in a fun house. Like, it's very weird. We were in and out. We would go in and out of dizziness. We had a lot of, like, numbing, like, all over our body. My eyes would feel off kilter, like they were kind of, like, going back and forth. I don't know if that makes sense, but I would be like, ugh, and I'd have to, like, get my bearings, you know? Now, I want to make a note that I've always been kind of sensitive to, like, paranormal stuff. I'm extremely spiritual. I'm, you know, just very into that. Like, I read books on near-death experiences and, you know, just, like, anything I can get my hands on, paranormal and afterlife. You know, that's, like, my jam. You know, that's what I'm into.
Me too.
And you love it. So my sister, Becca, she believes in paranormal stuff to an extent, but kind of waffles on that. Like, she never feels like, quote, presences. She's more kind of facts, not totally sure about it, but, like, totally game for, you know, investigating it. And, but I note that because we were feeling the same exact things. And the most physical thing we felt of note that I have never felt in my entire life, and we both felt it, was when we first got on the fourth floor, we walked to the very end of the fourth floor, and I don't know what room number we were at, but just the end of one of the hallways. And we stood there, and we both at the same time, I didn't want to tell her, but then she told me what she was feeling, and I went, oh my God, I'm feeling the same thing, is like we were being pulled through the floors. Like, there was, like, almost our legs were being grabbed, and we were going through all the floors, like, just like, just rapidly. It was very intense. And so anyway, okay, we make our way to room 429, which allegedly, you know, where the bride, one or two brides had committed suicide on their wedding nights. And there was a beautiful couch sitting right in front of it. And it's just this gorgeous door. I mean, it's just so pretty. And we sit down on this couch, and like I said, it was so weird how you could hear, like, muted, you know, bass from, like, other weddings and stuff like that. But it's just kind of like it's its own plane. It's weird. So I started, you know, I was running my iPhone since voice memo since we got on to the fourth floor. And right. So I start casually saying, you know, like, are you annoyed by this wedding music? And is the bride here? You know, nothing of the taunting nature. As, like, I believe most spirits are just people, and I have
right. That's something I've never understood. I've never understood, you know, you go into a place and it's maybe haunted, and you say, show yourself, you know, I mean,
come on,
would you want somebody to insult you? I mean, just not my style.
Exactly. And I just think, you know, you show them the respect. And I mean, I definitely believe in, like, you know, demonic. I mean, I was raised Southern Baptist. You can't take that out of the girl. I mean, I'm definitely not Southern Baptist now, but I still definitely believe in, like, demons and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I don't approach it as this is something evil. I approach it, you know, unless I get a bad feeling someplace, I'm just like, this is, you know, they're people. So anyway, on the EVP, or we didn't hear it live. I do need to note that. We didn't hear it until we listened to it after. But all of a sudden, we're sitting on the couch. We start to feel the same physical feelings at the same time. All of a sudden, my head feels like it's being pressed. Like, you know, those, like, when you glue furniture and you, like, put it in that press to hold it overnight, like, to glue together.
Right.
Like, that was on my head, and it was just, like, being pressed. Like, I get migraines normally, but this was so different. It was just pressure. And my sister felt the same thing. Both our arms went numb at the same time. My face was numb. It was, like, hard to breathe. I felt like I was going to throw up. I mean, it was extremely intense. So that's, we found out the next day when we were listening to it. I mean, the whole recording's about 9 minutes long, but, you know, we listened to the whole thing, and, you know, about the 5:20 mark, we get the EVP, and that is exactly when we were feeling those physical feelings. And what we hear, clear as day, and I think you had to enhance it a little because it is a little quiet, but I will say everyone that was listening to it, we had a whole group of friends camped out around my phone as loud as it could be, and everyone heard it. As soon as it happened, everyone was like, dang, like, did you hear that? And like, it was,
well, what we're gonna, what we're going to do is we're going to play the clip. Now, you're going to hear it's you and your sister, right? Having a little discussion. Then you're going to hear some whispering.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, I have kind of boosted the whispering so you can hear what Jennifer talked about. And you will hear it now. We've had to bleep out a little bit of language because I believe, Jennifer, you were a little excited and maybe weren't talking for broadcast. But we've excised that that part, so we will not harm gentle ears. And let's take
Thank
a listen you. To the EVP, and here it is.
My hands are tingly.
Becca. No. Mine are too. Like, I'm tingling through here.
See,
but like, we're both doing that. That shows something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I heard it. What do you say, Jennifer?
Yeah, oh my gosh, just that. And it's like almost like a gentleman, like, oh my gosh, I did that. I'm sorry. And that's what struck me is that when I heard it, when we played it back, you know, when you hear something otherworldly and it's unmistakable, because I had skeptics in the room with me. I mean, it just happened to be a night where we were all just hanging out. You know, I was visiting Austin, so we were like, you know, having drinks and just hanging out and laughing and having a good time. And, you know, there were a lot of skeptics there, and they heard it. And that's what, like, chilled me to the bone. And then I was like, but it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't malevolent or whatever. It didn't sound evil. You know, it sounded like, oh, excuse me, I did that. I'm sorry. You know, like, I just passed through you. Sorry. You know, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. A polite ghost.
Yes, a polite ghost. And he said it right into the phone. And I just think, I think about how crazy it was that a spirit was that close to us. You know, it's just undeniable. And later we hooked it up to a Bose sound system and just like blasted it in the living room and had more people listen to it. And it was just, every time I get it confirmed, it freaks me out more. And listening to it today to give you the marks, I just was like shaking again, like just having that experience again. But then at the same time, it's like comforting because it wasn't something evil. I don't know.
Any more ghost hunts after that?
No, that was my first one. And I'm actually like very encouraged to do more, and I have a treasure trove of stories for you. So we'll be speaking again. My grandparents' house was haunted, and there's been some stuff that has happened to me in this house that I'm in now in Tulsa that we just moved into 8 months ago.
Ooh.
So I've got some good ones. So I'll be definitely getting in touch with you again. So,
well, we'll hold you to it, Jennifer. Thanks so much for your support and being a part of the campfire.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your show. Thanks.
Thomas is on the line. He found out about us from George Norrie, who has always been very kind in helping promote our work. So we're very appreciative of that. Thomas is calling from California today. And this is, and I'll use that word again, a very poignant story about his son. And I'll let him share it with you. Thomas, welcome to the program. And thank you for sharing such a personal story. Please tell us what happened.
Well, my son passed away in February of 2009, and growing up, I only wanted to be a writer, and actually, I was raised by a single mom, and I kind of raised my little brother, so after my little brother got old enough, I didn't take care of him. The only thing I ever really wanted to be was a dad. I loved being a dad. In fact, I used to call him sick just so I could stay home with my kids. So my son, we were very close even after he got older. He used to call me 2-3 times a week. So in 2009, when he passed away in February, I was devastated.
Sure.
I mean, I have a friend whose husband passed away, and she's talking about how she can't look at pictures. And I still can't watch videos of my son. My mom passed away in January, and I went through all her old photos and seeing pictures of my son, even though it's been 7 years. Actually, 7 years now. That was the hardest part of my mom dying, having to look at pictures of my son. So it was really hard on me. Yeah. So anyway, what happened was after he died, I used to have these dreams all the time. And in these dreams, my son, every time he would be in my dreams, I would realize he was dead. I mean, one time in one of my dreams, he was actually green and decaying. It was just bad dreams like this all the time, where I just wake up devastated. But like I said, in every dream I ever had, I knew he was dead. Except for the very last dream I had, and it came like 2 or 3 years after he had passed away. And I woke up and I was in this, I don't know if it's a room or it's just, I live in the high desert at the time, and it was just like a vast white plain. And all around me was just a flat, flat plain of white with kind of around me was just clear and white. I mean, everything was white. And I saw my son coming towards me from a distance, and I just started to break down and cry. And he came over to me and held me, and they told me, it's okay, Daddy. I'm okay. And I'm okay. Just let me go. And I woke up, and instead of crying this time, I was just kind of like really sad, but just something was different. And ever since that time, I had never had another dream. And that, in fact, I didn't realize I quit dreaming about him until 2 or 3 years later. I realized that, and that was when I began to think that this was more than just a dream, because, you know, I'd had some dreams about him. And I'm kind of a skeptic anyway. So, you know, I'm not just, oh, it's a ghost.
Right.
Like, I've had a couple things happen since my mom's died that I thought, okay, that's not my mom. And I just kind of, you know, I'm a believer in the supernatural and everything, but I always look for the other reason first, you know?
So right. You're kind of a practical believer. And I kind of put myself in that same category. Yes.
So I just kind of, like I said, 2 or 3 years later, I started to think. And one time I was sitting around with my daughter and my other son. We just went up to visit her and him. And we started talking about Ben, and Tara, my daughter, believed that he had come to her one time. And I told them the story I just told you about how I'd always dreamed of Ben, but in all my dreams, he was dead, and knew he was dead. And it was just even devastating in the dream until the last dream I had. And I go, and since that time, I've never dreamed of Ben again. So they all kind of agreed with me that probably was Ben coming to me, because I told someone on your Facebook page. In fact, I mentioned this, that I'd read the story once about these ghosts, and it was a fictional story, where the ghosts were actually here not because they had unresolved issues, but because their family couldn't let them go.
Wow.
So the ghosts were actually still here because they had family members that couldn't let them go, and they enlisted the help of this guy who could see them to help their family get over it so the ghosts could move on. So I kind of began to think that's what Ben did for me. I mean, I'm still not over it, but I'm not to the point where it's just debilitating. And I got to the point where I could talk about him and stuff. And so, I don't know if you want me to go on, but
please do.
I did relate the story on your page was because I've had been kind of sick, and I've had 2 back surgeries, stomach surgery or knee replacement. And, I've been put under a lot of times, and every time I've been put to sleep in a have an operation, I don't know if you've ever had one, but I tell my wife, it's not like you don't wake up rested, because it's not like you're asleep. It's like you black out and you come to, and
right.
You black out, and you come to. And all those surgeries don't dream during these. So anyway, on May 4th of this year, I had a back operation.
Mm-hmm.
And during this operation, when I was coming, wasn't coming to, all of a sudden, you know, you don't know where you're at. All of a sudden, I'm in this room, right? And there's nothing around me. And it's kind of like, it's more like a pit than a room. But there's these walls. And these walls are one I can't see the top of, but there's 2 other ones that, one's taller and one's about 5 foot tall. The other one's about 6, 7. So I decided I'm going to climb out of this room. I didn't know what I'm doing in here. So I start to climb this one wall. And next thing I know, my son Ben is there, and he's prying me off this wall and knocking me back into the room. So when I see it's Ben, I'm wondering, why aren't you talking to me? And I try to climb this wall again, and he knocks me back off. And so I go to the other side and try to climb the other wall. And he reaches with his pole over and knocks me off again. So I try one more time to climb the wall that he's on the top of. And it's like, I understand it's a different area. Once I get out of this room, I'm going to be in another area. So I'm trying to climb this wall, and he knocks me off again. When he knocks me off, I notice there's this light coming from the left-hand side. I'm looking into this light, and as I stare into this light, I notice the faces of two nurses. I don't know they're nurses at the time, but and as I begin to come into, as the light expands, I wake up, and I realize at that time, the first thing I thought was, wow, oh, that's right, I had an operation. That's weird. Why did I dream? I've never dreamed. And so first thing the nurses say to me is that they had to wake me up early because my blood pressure was getting dangerously low. And I go, okay. And then I realized that it must have been really low because they stopped giving me pain medication.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm in severe pain because I've just had all the muscles ripped off my skeleton so they could get to my back. And so I'm in extreme pain. So I don't think about the dream I've just had. The only thing I'm thinking about at this time is that I'm in extreme pain. They won't give me any pain medication. I'm thinking, if my blood pressure is so low that you had, why don't you give me blood? So I just think that's an HMO issue there. And they didn't give me any pain medication for like an hour. So I don't think about anything except being in pain. But after they finally dope me back up, they give me something to raise my blood pressures. They gave me a liquid, not blood. And so when I started thinking about it, I thought about it for like a week before I thought, you know what? I wonder if that was Ben again. I don't know why he didn't talk to me. I don't know. I came to believe eventually that if I had stepped off, if I'd gotten out of that room and gone into the next plane, that I actually would have died. Because two or three days after I got out of the hospital, I went to see a doctor, and he said that, yeah, I was in much more serious. He said that I was in much more serious condition than they let me on at the time. So I began to think again that Ben had come one last time. Well, maybe not the last time. I can't say it was in the future, but he had come and kept me from passing on because I don't know why, but it just wasn't my time, I guess. Basically, that's right.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you mentioned early on in the call that you loved the kids so much that you stayed at home. You call off sick. Which I think is actually quite admirable. But the thing is that it seems like you cared for him, and then of recent, after all this has happened in his way, the way that he can, he's cared for you.
Yeah, I think we were very close. He was gay, and he had a tattoo put on him, Daddy's Little Girl. So, but I was also, I'm kind of liberal in that way. I didn't care. And so we were just, I always supported him. And, I think that, he killed himself. He hung himself. And so, I'm kind of hoping that he knows I don't, not angry with him. I know what being depressed is like. And,
I'm sure he does know. I mean, if he had this communication with you, I'm quite sure he does know.
And that he might be making up for it. But I got the feeling, like I said, when he came to me 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it was, missing 2012 would have been, 4 years ago, that, he's okay. That life was hard on him. I mean, he was just an emotional kid. He was 28, so, you go through those, I call them teen angst of the 20s, but he was the... I think he's keeping an eye on us all because he was very close with his brother and sister too. And we all miss him. He was, one of these tortured souls that were also very charismatic when they're around you. So yeah, when I posted on Facebook, I said, I don't know if this is supernatural or not. I won't say yes or no, but this is what happened to me. And, I can't help but think that our loved ones, you don't stop loving someone. He's passed on, and I haven't stopped loving him. And I'm sure that when we pass on, we won't stop loving the people we've loved that are still here too. I don't know what the difference where the door is, but whatever it is, I don't think family goes on beyond life and death.
I believe it does as well, Thomas. Thank you so much once again for joining us tonight and telling this very, very personal story.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Next up on the campfire is our most popular caller, and he calls us probably more than anybody, but he always has an interesting story. I'm talking about Travis from California, and he's been keeping us updated on this story about his grandmother's haunted house and all the strangeness happening. And he sent me a note and said, Jim, one of the strangest things ever has happened. It's taken a weird and frightening turn. and we want to find out what's happening. So, Travis, welcome back, and tell us the latest, please.
Okay, well, let me start out very quickly. A few nights ago, as I've told you before, my mother has two horses, right?
Right.
Well, we have the barn, and it was about 10:30 at night, and I went into the barn, and where I live here in California, the weather is totally bonkers. I mean, it can be 95 in the day, but yet be 40 at night. So it's just crazy. So I was in the barn, and it was windy and cold, and I didn't have a jacket on, so I closed the door. Now, the door that closes is, like I said the last time, it's like one of those old garage doors that you would pull up manually.
Right.
And you know how they make the big slamming sound?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm down there, and I'm bent down. I have the door closed, and I'm bent down because I'm having to break. I have an X-Acto knife, and I'm having to cut some rope to start a new bale. And I was squatted down, and all of a sudden, I had the feeling come very quickly that I had, remember the story when I told you that that thing literally ran me out of my grandmother's house?
Yes.
Yes. It's a combination between the chills and a weird electrical feeling. I cannot explain it any more than that.
Mm.
And I knew in that split second something was going to happen. And I heard a very deep voice go, "Hey, Travis." And I'm thinking, this is not happening out here. And I turn around. Of course, there's nothing. Nobody's there, nothing. Now, the voice sounded garbled. The only way that I can explain how it sounds is, you know, like on those crime shows where you have somebody and they have a, they're talking into the phone and it's making their voice, changed, like,
yeah, it's
deeper.
Distorting it so they can't identified. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it can't be identified. And it was like, it was abnormally deep and sounded garbled. Now, one thing that was strange is the S, or the Y in Hey and the S in Travis, they were cut off. It was like whatever this was wasn't able to say the entire two words, okay? I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. It was just very strange.
Huh.
So I ignored it, and I thought, okay, whatever. So the next night I came over, and it was about 10:30 again, and the neighbor across the street comes over, and he goes, "Excuse me," and he said his name, and he said, "I know that nobody's over at your home," and I said, "Well, it's my grandmother's," and he goes, "Oh, okay." He said, "And my wife didn't want me to tell you this." He said, "But last night," he said, "I'm a smoker," and he said, "I do not smoke in the house." He said, "I stepped out about 3:30 in the morning to have a smoke," and he said, "There was a man and a woman violently yelling in her house."
Huh.
And I said, "Well," I said, "that's strange because everything's locked up and there's nobody in there."
That's weird.
And he said, "It was a man and a woman." He said, "You could not understand what they were saying." And he even told his wife, "Come out here." She said, "Come out here. Listen." He said, "The voices sounded odd." And he said, "We stayed out there for about 5 minutes." And he said, "The voices were like going from one room to the other." And he said, "They sounded weird and we could not understand what they were saying." And the wife told him, "Don't tell him. No, you know, don't tell him. Don't tell him that what we heard." And he goes, "But I just thought you should know." And I explained the history. And I said, "I do appreciate you telling me that. You know, thank you very much. But I think I know what it is." But that's not the problem. That's not what happened. So I thank him very much. We talk about a half hour. I explained to him a little bit about what's going on. He said, "Well, I heard it with my own ears." So I go out to the barn, and I'm looking right by the where the handle is, where you would pull the barn up, and I see something, and my heart just sinks, and I'm starting to get nauseous, and I thought, "Oh God, please, please don't be what I think I'm seeing." Right under the where you pull the barn door up is a deceased cat.
Ugh.
And I'm like, "Please God, please don't let that be what I think it is. Don't let that be what I think it is." I go over there, It was a rather large, white, and orange cat.
Oh.
It was in mid-walk. You could tell one of the paws were up like it was walking and just fell over dead. And it was positioned. There is no way that you could, that cat could have fallen in the position it did, right under where the door handle to the garage is. Or not the garage, but the barn. And I'm just like, oh God, please don't let this be happening. Now, I have a friend, she runs a crematorium for pets, because, anytime that any of our pets pass away, we get them cremated. Actually, we probably have better urns for our animals or our pets than probably most humans do in their cemetery, And she has a friend who did, I believe it's called a necropsy. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Anyway, I took the cat out to her, and I said, I need to know what killed this cat. Was it poison? What was it? And she said, okay. And she said, even she said, she goes, it looks like it was in mid-walk. And I said, it was. The paws were up. And just not more than 2 days ago, she called, and she said, hi, Travis. And she goes, she said, the verdict is we don't know what happened.
Oh, that's weird.
I said, well, what do you mean? She said, they checked for poison. They checked. It was a pricey deal to have to get that check or that cat, an autopsy, but I was going to do it anyway. They said they checked everything. They checked its heart. They checked absolutely everything. And the conclusion, the death, unknown. They said there was no cancer. There was no poison. There was nothing. There was no broken bones. Nothing. So that is what is currently happening. Like I said, if you could see how it was positioned right by where my hand would be to lift the barn, it was almost like, ha ha, I didn't get a rise out of you that one night. Well, now check this out. And granted, yes, my grandmother does live, or her house is in a field, and there are cats that come and go. But the way this was positioned and the way that its paws were up, like it literally fell over dead with two of its paws up like walking.
Oh my.
And the way it was positioned, there is no way and on earth that that could not have been positioned purposely by something or someone. So that is currently where we're standing now.
Yeah, now that is weird. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think this is like a line of demarcation saying we're going to, whatever this is going to go from being, kind of just malevolent, but scary into where it becomes more destructive?
Well, this is the analogy that I'm going to give your listeners. Say you have a bowl of water, okay? Now, say you have a thing of food coloring. Okay, say you drop a drop of food coloring into the middle of the bowl of water. Well, for a split second, the most of the color is right in the middle, but it slowly spreads out. You know, it may not be as strong as the center, but I think what's happening is my grandmother's house is the epicenter, and I think that it is slowly spreading to other parts of her land. I think it's so slowly spreading into the barn. I think what is happening is whatever this is hasn't been getting a rise out of me by the voices, the noises, and I truly believe that this was... It was like, I didn't get your attention before. Now, check this out. Now, do I have your attention?
Wow.
Because I'm telling you, the way that cat, there is no way that that thing could be positioned like that naturally. It was exactly where I would lift it up. It was like, well, you know what? I didn't get a rise out of you a couple nights ago in the barn. Well, check this out. Now. And you don't even know. My mother and her sister went down there at in the afternoon a few days ago, and they go in, and they hear from one of the bedrooms, slam, one of the doors slammed so hard it cracked the molding around the bedroom door, and there's nobody in there.
Oh, man.
And my mom is saying, this is it. This is it. We want this house gone. We want, but, you know, I told her, but you just can't abandon a house with all the land, you know. But whatever, what I'm trying to say here is whatever this is has ceased to be, how do I put it? It's getting more malevolent, as you said, and more in your face and more bolder is what I'm trying to say. Much
right.
bolder.
Right.
We never had any problems in that barn, but I truly believe that whatever's in the house is like, okay, well, we haven't gotten a rise out of him, so how about we kind of maybe spread out a little bit? And like I said, the voice sounded garbled. It didn't sound human, and I think that it got mad because I didn't give it any satisfaction by doing anything. And unfortunately, I don't know what happened with the cat. I don't want to know what happened. All I know is that I have the proof in writing that the cause of death is absolutely, utterly unknown. No toxins, yeah, no heart weird. Attack, nothing.
It's sad and it's weird. Now, let me ask you one last thing. These two people arguing in the house, any speculation uh-huh. who they may have been? Any thoughts?
Well, you know, I told the guy, I said, my grandmother, my grandfather passed away in 1982. My grandmother, she's still alive. She's still alive. She's not at the house. I told him, I'm thinking that maybe, I can't say for sure, it could be a residual, because when they would fight, they had no problem yelling. they definitely had no problem yelling. Why that would be a loop or a recording or some kind of residual, I don't know. But as I've said before, and as your listeners have heard me say, nobody has lived in that house or on that land but them. You know, we don't know. We honestly don't know. I don't know any night what I'm going to find over there or hear over there or see over there. And it's reaching a point, the apex. We don't know what to do. We don't know why it's getting stronger. We don't know what brought it in. But let me tell you, the last couple times, that was not a human that I'm dealing with over there. And that's all I can say up until right now. That's all that's happened thus far. I could go over there for the next week and there wouldn't be anything happen. Or I could go over there tonight and, you know, who knows what would happen. There's no rhyme or reason to what's happening over there. No schedule that I'm aware of. Does that make any sense to you?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's like one night something bad will happen. 2 weeks will go by, nothing. Then another thing bad will happen. There's no rhyme or reason. And he said, the man, you could tell he didn't want to tell me because I think he thought that I would think he was, you know, cuckoo, you know. And he just said, and the voices, they just kept going. And I said, I understand what you're saying. I said, they were going from one part of the house to the other. And I said, don't tell me. Let me guess, you couldn't understand them. And his eyes got really wide, and he goes, that's exactly what happened. And I said, you don't have to worry about it. I said, I think I know what's going on. And he's just like, you know, his eyes are like saucers, because I'm just taking it very nonchalantly, like, whatever. You know, which I shouldn't have taken that stance because there is something going on. Hmm. But whether it was a real-time entity or a residual, that I cannot prove in any way, shape, or form. All I know is that nobody's been in that house but me. I check everything. It's all locked up. So it's all supposition what that was. That doesn't bother me. They can argue all night long if that's what they want to do, a residual. What upset me and still does is the cat.
Yeah.
To be honest, I vomited that night. I was so upset. And like I said, I was almost hoping, please let them find poison or please let them find a broken bone like maybe a dog got it or, you know, something. And they said
no. An explanation other than something otherworldly.
It's not otherworldly. It's simply unknown.
That's true. Well,
and know?
Travis?
It is what it is. And like I said, I'm just trying to, you know, let your viewers or your listeners know in a roughly a real time timeline of what is happening.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well,
so that's all I can tell you, Jim.
It's always interesting to hear the latest. Let's hope that nothing more sinister happens.
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if it starts trying to be physical.
Mm.
Really, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm expecting it. Mm. And, you know, I know that most people are like, well, how can you go over there knowing that? But you know, it's a home. It's a house. It's like you see on TV, people just can't abandon a home with land.
Right.
You know, financially, or anything, you just can't walk away.
Right.
You know.
Right. True.
So yeah.
True.
But anyway, like I said, I don't want your listeners to think I'm trying to dominate the airwaves here, but I'm just trying to give you guys a real time timeline as best as I can of what is happening.
Well, thank you very much for doing that, Travis, and we will stay tuned for further updates. Thank you for joining us again.
I genuinely hope I don't have to talk to you again, and I mean that in the nicest way. I hope that nothing more happens, you know? So thank you very much, Jim, and I thank your listeners for putting up with me and this unfolding drama.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to The Campfire. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope you enjoyed the program as much as I did. And we couldn't do a program without our sponsors, so check out Harry's, harrys.com, and use that promo code CAMPFIRE to get $5 off your first order. Also, please don't forget about that special deal that we're doing with our Campfire coloring book coming out this fall. You can go over to jimherold.com/campfirecoloringbook and get a full 8.5 by 11 PDF, a page you can print out and color if you are a coloring fan based on one of our classic campfire stories. And again, you can find that over at jimherold.com/campfirecoloringbook. We thank you so much for tuning in. Please rate and review the shows wherever you may listen. For example, iTunes, if you could go over there and put a 4 or 5 star review and write a couple sentences about your thoughts. And that's really important to write those couple of sentences. That helps us stand out in the charts because, as I always say, we don't have a big marketing budget, but we do have you. And that's actually a lot better. We thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time on The Campfire. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.